Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Because I was speaking with Hayagriva about Mahaprabhu. So I felt inspiration to continue on the same subject. I want to speak on the second chapter of Madhyalila, which is entitled The Ecstatic Manifestation of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because this is one of the most beautiful chapters of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Actually, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, fearing that he may not be able to finish his book, started by what he wanted really to say to humanity. Because no one before him had ever said this. So he was feeling, if I keep this for the end, which should normally be the proper sequence, maybe I would leave my body before and I will not be able to do it. So he decided to put it right in the beginning of the pastime of Mahaprabhu. So I will read the first verse. You know, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami start every chapter with a verse in Sanskrit. Normally he is writing in Bengali, but his first verse of every chapter is a Sanskrit verse, and that verse is the introduction or synopsis of the entire chapter. He's saying, now I will speak about that. Then he goes on in Bengali. So this is the Sanskrit introductionary verse of the chapter 2. Of Madhyalila. Vishedesmin praborantya lilas sutranuvarnane gaurasya krishna visheda parara padyanuvarnyate. While relating in synopsis form the last division of the pastime of Lord Chaitanya, in this chapter I shall describe the Lord's transcendental ecstasy, which appears like madness due to his separation from Krishna. Purport by his divine grace, Srila Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In this second chapter, the activities of Lord Chaitanya that took place after the Lord accepted sannyas are generally described. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is specifically mentioned here as being Gaura, or of a fair complexion. Krishna is generally known to be blackish, but when he is absorbed in the thoughts of the gopi, who are all of fair complexion, Krishna himself also becomes fair. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in particular felt separation from Krishna very deeply, exactly like a lover who is dejected in separation from the beloved. Such feelings, which were expressed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for nearly 12 years at the end of his pastime, are described in brief in the second chapter of Madhyalila. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Yanam Janam Shalakaya Taksurumilita Mina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yina Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Zaparam Tikam Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Goradvise Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Vanshakal Patarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha, Jitanam Pavanevyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Mukam Karoti Vachalam, Pangom Mulangayate Giri, Yat Kripam Tamaham Vande, Shiguru Dinatharanam.
So, I wanted to speak about the importance of worshipping Lord Chaitanya. Is it okay? The topic is convenient for you? Master Kritamana requested me to speak some few words out of compassion. She always wants to engage me in the service of Krishna. She is thinking otherwise, he will be thinking about Maya. Let him speak something about Krishna, then at least he is protected. So I was thinking about that. Bajo Gauranga Kaho Gauranga Loho Gauranga Namare Se Jane Gauranga Baje Se Oyamar Pranare. You know? This is a very important instruction in spiritual life. We have to develop a strong absorption in the personality of Mahaprabhu, because he is the merciful aspect of Radha and Krishna. So Krishna, Kaviraj Goswami said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the pastime of Radha and Krishna, they are only accessible for the topmost liberated souls. Only them can have access to these things. It's closed for everybody else. But the pastime of Lord Chaitanya are like an ocean or a lake from which are flowing thousands of streams in all directions, giving that nectar, the nectar of Radha and Krishna's pastime, to each and everyone. So there is no qualification when we approach Mahaprabhu. And being very unqualified, this is the proper way for us to go, no?
This is the way to be unqualified.
Yes, this is the qualification. Mahaprabhu is a Patita Pavana. That means he is the savior of the fallen soul. But in order to be able to be a recipient of his mercy, we have to realize that we are fallen. If we think we are great, then he cannot save us. He can only save those who accept that they are fallen. But this cannot be only external, that will not satisfy him. It must be a very deep and realization within the heart, irrevocable, you know. This word is there, Prabhupada used this word in Srimad Bhagavatam. Savai pumsha paro dharmo yato bhakti rado chaje. Ahitukya pratihata. No, this is not this one. This is... Nasta prayesva vadrishvinityam bhagavato sevaya. Bhagavati utamashloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. This word naishtiki, Prabhupada translates as an irrevocable fact. By listening to the Srimad Bhagavatam and serving the devotee Bhagavat, always, continuously, every day, all the impurities within our hearts will be nearly completely removed. And devotional service to the Supreme Lord will be established in the heart like an irrevocable fact. That means irrevocable, you cannot remove. You cannot change. Yeah, it is there it is like written in the stone. You know? It is encarved, we say, encarved in the stone. So this realization that we are fallen must become like this in our heart. Then we are protected from what we call pratishta, or thinking that we are great. We are protected from the ego. Then at that time Mahaprabhu becomes interested with us. Because real humility is established in the heart. It takes some time to reach this kind of humility. Sanatana Goswami called this utter humility, or total humility, or we could say absolute humility.
And symptoms are normal material.
Yeah, this is a byproduct, but this is more than only no more material desire. Of course, no more material desire. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta gave once a definition of humility. He said, humility is that, you have to listen carefully, because Bhaktisiddhanta, you know, you have to understand him. But try. Humility is what is absent wherever there is desire for sense enjoyment. Yes. When there is desire for sense enjoyment, this quality is absent. Humility. So this is what you said. Humility means no more material desire. That's true. So, but not only that, this is a deep realization that we are fallen soul. This is called Sambandha Gyan. You know? Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayujan. The synopsis of Sambandha Gyan is Mosama Patita Prabhu Napai Behar. My dear Lord, you cannot find anyone more fallen than me in this universe. One who developed that understanding, he has understood the Sambandha Gyan. Sambandha means relationship. Our relationship with Krishna is that we are fallen. Once I asked my spiritual master, how can I improve my chanting of the holy name, the quality or the purity of my chanting? That was long ago. It was 2000, maybe 2000. He told me, first you have to understand properly what is your position. And I really didn't understand what he was saying, what is my position. It took me years to really realize what he was saying. He was saying this. First, you have to understand that you are fallen. If you realize that you are fallen, then we can speak about chanting correctly. First, we have to be established in that realization, no?
That
I am fallen. Like Haridasa called. Yeah. Otherwise, you cannot really chant. Real chanting means first, he told me, this is number one thing, first you realize what is your position. Because then you establish in Sambandha. What is my relation, present relation with Krishna, is that I am fallen. Fallen servant, true, but fallen more important than servant. Presently, I am more fallen than servant. I am servant by constitution and nature, but unfortunately now I am fallen. So when this realization is established within the heart, then our relationship with Krishna is established as a very strong realization.
So Krishna, when you realize that you are fallen, Krishna sees, oh, okay, this is start.
Yes. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said this. He said, Sadanga Sharanagati Bhakatera Pran. This Sharanagati, which is six, you know, six limbs of devotional service of surrender, of which one is Dhanya, humility, which is starting by humility. He said that when someone he is situated in that mood within his heart, then the son of Nanda will hear his prayers. Only then. Before, Krishna doesn't really hear our prayers. But when we have this real mood of humility, then when you will pray to Krishna, Krishna cannot ignore your prayers. Because that will touch his heart. You know, when Sanatana and Rupa Goswami, they fell at the feet of Mahaprabhu in Ramakeli, they start to recite some verses. What they said? They said, Naham palpasya sarvasya naparadi chakashana parihaje dajopime kimbruve purushottama. Something like that. I forgot. Oh my Lord, there is no one who is more sinful than us. There is no greater offender than us. Even if we try to explain, or even if we would regret our mistake and try to beg forgiveness, we are so much ashamed of our sinful activities and offenses that we are not even able to express them, to speak them. We don't have that strength to speak them. So therefore our mouth is like, cannot say any word. We are standing in front of you, but we cannot speak because we cannot even express that, how much fallen we are. You understand? Too much shame is there in my heart. Rupa Goswami said same thing. Maybe Stavamala. He said, Oh Krishna, normally people, they offer you some beautiful things, you know, like flowers, and they offer you some beautiful things. But I'm feeling awkward because I have nothing to offer you. The only thing I have is my shame. This is the only thing I can offer you, but I'm feeling at the same time, this is not really nice offering for you. But this is the only thing I have. So this is Sambandhagyan, you know, when we understand Sambandhagyan, then we can understand Abhideya, then we can understand Prayojan, and then our spiritual life will be effective. Our chanting will be effective. And from the beginning of our spiritual practice, our Acharya says that we have to develop a clear understanding also of what is the goal, Prayojan. Sambandha is where I am. We have to be deeply rooted in that realization. And one very helpful poem of Bhaktivinoda Thakur for us is Amara Jivana. Amara Jivana Sada Pape Rata Nahiko Punyera Lesha. You know? This song, maybe we can sing every day, that will establish us in our proper relationship with Mahaprabhu. This is what we are. But at the same time, this only will not be sufficient. We need also to have a clear understanding of what is the goal. Then we know where we go. You know, if you don't know what is the goal, then you may become deviated, or you may become lost. No? But if you know what is the goal, where is the goal, whatever happens, you will reach there one day or another. If you see the light there and you know I have to go to that light, even if you move me on the left or on the right or whatever, I know I can rectify my direction and again head toward the light. This is my experience in life, because when I was young, I was used to do some sailing, you know, sailing on the sea. I crossed from France to England to the sea. So at one point, because that takes at least more than 24 hours to cross by wind, you know. And at some point you don't see nothing, only water is there. There is no more earth. The only thing you have to, you can situate yourself is by the stars and the lighthouses, which are blinking like this, pim, pim, you know. Far away you can see this. So this is the way. You have to keep the, how to say, the trajectory on that light. But by the current and the wind, you are constantly going in that way or that way. You don't control when you are on the ocean. It's very powerful. So they may toss you miles away and this, but you can always rectify. And you're still heading toward that light. And one day or another you reach that light. It will take much more than what you think, because actually you're going like this. But you reach it if you see the light and if you understand, this is where I have to go. So our Acharya told us that we have to know what is the Prayojana. Then we will not be misled, and we will not stop by attaining byproducts or lower result. Otherwise, lower attainment. Because in bhakti, when we practice, we will receive many things. Many things will come. And if we don't know what is the goal, we will think, oh, that's it. I got it. That will come. This is a long story, but Loba Puja Pratishta. That first you may got what we call sukritotta anartha. That means money, everything becomes favorable in life, you know. This is sukritotta anartha. This is one of the anartha. Because after you become distracted and you cannot focus on Krishna. You become distracted by everything which comes. Oh, nice. Now everything comes, you know. I'm serving Krishna, now everything becomes favorable. And you become distracted by this. Then puja. Then, but if you go further than this, then you will become more connected to Krishna. Then the people will start to worship you.
Worship?
Yes. Oh, you're so nice. You know so many things. When I'm with you, I'm feeling, I'm progressing so much, you know. This is danger in bhakti. Pratishta. After you will be given some position. So all these things will come. And you may think, okay, now I got it. Everybody's worshipping me, I got position. I'm spiritual master, or I am senior devotee, you know, I have this. We may think I am great Vaishnava, but this is not the goal of Vaishnavism. Nothing to see with the goal. The goal of Vaishnavism means pure love. Have we developed pure love? So Mahaprabhu came to teach us what is the goal. And we have to worship Mahaprabhu. So in this chapter, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is explaining how Mahaprabhu, during the last 12 years of his life, was staying in the house of Kashi Mishra in Jagannath Puri. And there, he said, Shesha Yerohilo Prabhura Dvadasha Vatsara Krishnirav Yuga Sfurti Aya Nirantara. During his last 12 years, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always manifested all the symptoms of ecstasy in separation from Krishna. His state of mind
day and night was practically identical to Radharani's state of mind when Uddhava came to Vrindavan to see the gopis. That's why before reading Chaitanya Charitamrita you need to read Srimad Bhagavatam, otherwise you cannot understand this verse. Do you know what this verse is referring to? When Uddhava came to visit the gopis? You know this story? Chapter 47 of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is one of the most important, if not the most important chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah. And he comes, and Radharani, this is called Brahmara Gita, the song of the bumblebee. Radharani started to speaking to this bumblebee. So she entered into a state of a very high level of pure love for Krishna. And Mahaprabhu was constantly absorbed in this state of mind. Cheshta. Day and night, ratri dine, non-stop. Nirantara means always. Aya prabhura viraha unmada. Viraha means separation, unmada means craziness. In this case, transcendental craziness. Brahma maya cheshta sada pralapa mayavada. The Lord constantly exhibited a state of mind reflecting the madness of separation. All His activities were based on forgetfulness, and His talks were always based on madness. So what you do when you read this? We are talking about the Supreme Lord, no? We are talking about that person who is Om Purnamadam Purnamidam Purnat, you know, from which everything emanates, who is complete, who is topmost perfection, no? Nothing lacking in him. He is Atmarama, he is feeling full satisfaction within himself. He is the Param Satyam, Supreme Absolute Truth. He is the Parameshwar, controller of everything that exists, no? But now, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami said, all his activities were based on forgetfulness and his talk were based on madness. So when you do, what do we do when the Supreme Absolute Truth becomes mad? What can we do? No. It becomes confusing, no? What's happening here, no? Supreme Absolute Truth, who is controlling everything, becoming mad. This is written here, unmada.
He can do anything he wants.
Of course, he can do anything. But then we enter into some consideration, you know, we have to think about that. It's not cheap verse. This is Supreme Person who has all unlimited qualities and now he's becoming mad. And he is completely forgetful. He doesn't know what he is doing. Mahaprabhu didn't know what he is doing. He would do some things which has no meaning. And they were asking, why are you doing this? He could not answer why he is doing this.
He was smashing head of the wall.
So many things. Mahaprabhu is... I will not enter into details because it's very... intense chapter. This chapter, when I read it the first time, oh my God. I was thinking, well, this is only chapter 2. Wow. I was really fearful, you know. I realized, maybe I have to read again Srimad Bhagavatam, you know. How can I understand this? Absolute Truth becoming mad. Becoming forgetful. I will not read the next verse because that verse shattered completely my consciousness the first time I read it. But then he said, Gambira Vitare Ratre Nahi Nidra Lava. The small room beyond the corridor is called the Gambira. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to stay in that room, but he did not sleep for a moment. Never ever Mahaprabhu was sleeping. How is it possible? Intensity of separation was too much deep, he cannot sleep. That is 12 years. Our experience of intensity doesn't reach that state of feelings, no?
Prabhupada was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita and giving class in the very beginning, 68.
Yeah, of course.
Beautiful
class. Prabhupada chose with a very clear mind to give us Chaitanya Charitamrita, because that was the desire of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And because they know, the Vaishnava knows, this is the topmost grantha, the topmost book, you know. Because through Chaitanya Charitamrita then we obtain entrance into the higher devotion. Then there are a lot of books of Rupa and Sanatana to complement the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But the entrance is through the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because it's through Mahaprabhu. Vajo Goranga, Koho Goranga, Laho Goranga Namari. If we want to progress in spiritual life, then we have to understand that one thing. Yatha yatha gaura padara vindayor vindita bhaktiskrita punya rasi tata tata utsarpitari dhyakasmat radha padam buddho. Sudhambu, what is it? Radha Padambuja, Sudhambu Nidhi, something like that. This is Prabodhananda Sarasvati. You know Prabodhananda Sarasvati? He is the uncle of Gopal Bhatt Goswami, brother of Venkata Bhatt. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta used to call him the crest jewel among the sannyasis. We don't speak so much about Prabodhananda Sarasvati, but he has given us some absolutely wonderful book, namely Chaitanya Chandramrita, I think 117 verses, maybe more, about Mahaprabhu. These verses are completely astonishing.
108.
No, I don't remember, I will not speculate. And he has given us another book which is called Radha Rasa Sudha Nidhi. You know this book?
I heard Rasa Rasa Sudha Nidhi.
Radha Rasa Sudha Nidhi. This is a wonderful book. And he is one of the topmost poets. If you read his verses, if you have some appreciation for the Sanskrit, it's so sweet how the words, they go together. And sometimes he used 3 times nearly the same word in the same, you know, and the sonorities are repeating themselves. He's a really wonderful poet.
Who is in class?
Tungavidya.
Tungavidya?
Yeah. He's one of the Hastasaki. He's really a wonderful poet. I recommend you to read that Sri Chaitanya Chandramrita.
I bought this book, Chaitanya Chandramrita.
Yeah.
I bought this book and I read
You have the one with the commentaries? Or just the slokas?
No, with commentary. But I give to Tulsi Bhav and Shabbat. I give as a present.
But even just the sloka are very nice. Because this is verses to meditate on Mahaprabhu. And he is explaining wonderful, beautiful thing about Lord Chaitanya. So in one of these verses he said this, Yatha yatha gora padara vindaya vindeta bhakti skritya punya rasi. By absorbing completely his consciousness into the
two lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and worshipping these two lotus feet with love and devotion, one person will be transported, even without desiring it, into the ocean emanating from the divine lotus feet of Srimati Radhika. So this is the way to access into the service of Radha and Krishna, by worshipping Gauranga. He said, as much as you worshipping Gauranga, that much you will be transferred to the ocean. This is his poetry. To the ocean of pure love emanating from the lotus feet of Srimati Radhika. You don't even need to try to reach that. Automatically you will be transferred there.
Does it mean that everyone who wants this mercy practically must worship?
Of course. Practically worship Gauranga, that is...
Many devotees, they don't worship deities.
Oh, worshipping Gauranga means, doesn't mean only worshipping his deity form, this is one aspect, but worshipping the name of Gauranga is also worshipping Gauranga. Reading Chaitanya Charitamrita is also worshipping Gauranga. Remembering, worshipping means Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasam, nine ways of worshipping Supreme Lord. But if you direct these nine activities toward Mahaprabhu, the result will be tremendous. Because this is we are Gaudiya Vaishnavas. I mean, Gaudiya Vaishnavas means we have to worship Mahaprabhu. Otherwise, we may not be Gaudiya Vaishnavas.
Yes, and you said also that if you worship Radha and Krishna without Mahaprabhu, your worship is incomplete.
Yeah, of course.
You have to have Mahaprabhu.
Of course.
So, Prabhupada style, Vaitai, Radha, Krishna, and Gaura is there as well. Your Gaudiya Vaishnava only just has Gaura.
Yeah.
You don't have Vaitai, but we always have Vaitai.
Yeah, because Prabhupada realized that. Being born in the West, still even worshipping Gauranga is maybe too high for us. We have to go through Nityananda. But in the beginning, Prabhupada installed in Calcutta, Radha Govinda and Gauranga Mahaprabhu there alone. And in New York, Brooklyn Temple, same, Radha Govinda and Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So Prabhupada started to do like his Guru Maharaj was doing, because this is Bhaktisiddhanta's mood, Radha Krishna and Gauranga on the same altar. Prabhupada started like that, but after he realized, I have to add Nityananda also. So Nityananda, of course, when we say we have to focus our worship on Mahaprabhu, that includes Panchatattva. Mahaprabhu means, and his associates. Panchatattva includes Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, all the associates of Mahaprabhu. But if we want to progress in spiritual life, this is the secret. We have to develop appreciation, first respect. Prabhupada explained in Nectar of Devotion. First there is a respect which is established. Then this respect developed into appreciation. Then this appreciation develop into attachment. Then attachment develop into love. Start by respect. And we have to appreciate and become attached to all these personalities, Mahaprabhu and his associates. If we do so, then everything will be revealed within our heart. Gaurangera Sanghigane Nitya Sida Kaurimane Say Oi Say Jai Vrajendra Sutapas. He who is worshipping the associate of Lord Chaitanya, knowing them to be liberated soul, coming from the pastime of Radha and Krishna to accompany Lord Chaitanya, that person will automatically attain Krishna. So this is the secret. We have to worship Mahaprabhu. In order to worship Mahaprabhu, we have to know about him. And now I want to go a little bit further, if you allow me. In Mahaprabhu there is two aspects. Lord Chaitanya appeared for two reasons, external reason and internal reason. So, the external reason he came to give us the process for the Kali Yuga, which is called Abhideya, the process how to reach the goal. But the supreme goal of life he exhibited only during the last part of his life. That is Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, and most particularly when he was staying in the Gambira, in the house of Kashi Mishra. So that Mahaprabhu we have to worship. This is a secret. We don't have so much information about Mahaprabhu in Gambira because it's so, extraordinary that our Acharya, they have not spoken so much. But Kaviraj Goswami did so. In this chapter and further also in this book. E mata adbhuta bhav sharira prakash manite shunyata vake aha utasha. In this way Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to manifest wonderful ecstatic symptoms. His mind appeared vacant and there were only hopelessness and disappointment in his words. So what do you do when Supreme Absolute Truths become hopeless, disappointed, and with a vacant mind? That means all repair. Comment on dit un repère? Un repère. You know when we say oui, on n'a plus de repère. Un repère, avoir un repère. All references, they are swept away. There is no more references, no? If the Supreme Absolute Truth become hopeless and disappointed, which references we have? No more. No more references. Just our face. We can have only our face. Yet yes, he is the Supreme Absolute Truth. This is his pastime. Otherwise, this is just like common conditioned soul, you know? Disappointed, hopelessness, vacant mind, these are the symptoms of a conditioned soul, normally, not of the Absolute Truth. Yeah, exactly. But this is transcendental madness, transcendental hopelessness, transcendental disappointment. So the highest reality is very similar to the material world, but the nature is completely different. So, how is it possible that Supreme Lord entered into such a state of consciousness, such an experience? He's not playing, he's really living that, like that. He's not thinking, oh, let me look like if I am hopeless. Let me just play like if I'm disappointed. No, otherwise it would be fake. But Krishna is never fake. I mean,
is he playing the role of conditioned
soul? Huh?
Is he playing the role of conditioned
soul? No, he's not playing, he's living.
Huh?
He's living. He's not playing.
He's living like conditioned soul.
Yeah. Look, I will tell you something.
But he exhibited as a supreme. He sat down and said, I am going to fulfill desire of each of one of you.
Or this is another pastime. Then you are a Navadvip. This is another aspect of Mahaprabhu. Yeah, this is another aspect of Mahaprabhu. Here we are speaking about Gaura Krishna. In that time in the house of, he is not absorbed in the mood of Radharani. He is not revealing all these things. He is in the mood of Narayan. This is Gaur Narayan. Yeah. He has two aspects. Mahaprabhu has two aspects. Gaur Narayan and Gaur Krishna. When he is in the mood of Gaur Narayan, he is a Shakti, he is a Vishnu Priya, Lakshmi Priya. They are his energy. When he is in Gaur Krishna, he is a Shakti, he is Gadadhar. Different pastime. In the same appearance, he manifested two kind of pastime. Now I am speaking about the second part of his life. And this is divided in two parts, 24 years, 24 years. At the end of 24 years, he just stopped this pastime and entered into the second part, but still during 6 years he traveled and didn't manifest this so much. It started after 6 years, as I was speaking the other day with Ratha Yatra. This is beginning. First Ratha Yatra, then Mahaprabhu entering into that mood. Or we can say it started, there was first point when Mahaprabhu arrived in Jagannath Puri and fainted while seeing Lord Jagannath. This is the beginning of the real, revelation of Mahaprabhu's personality. There had been also in Navadvip before, if you read Chaitanya Bhagavat sometime, Mahaprabhu would become also very absorbed in Krishna. But it converged up to the end of his life, these 12 years. During these 12 years, nobody was with him. Only Swarup Damodar, Ramananda Roy. They had access to him. And Gadadhar also. Other devotees, they had not so much access to Mahaprabhu. Because they may not have been able, even them may not have been able to understand fully his state of mind. But because they are the close associate of Radharani, Lalita Vishaka, they can. So they would like enhance his feelings, his mood. They would conduct him. Because that's Krishna's desire. He wanted to know Radhara. What is this? Rabeya Pranaya Mahima Kidrishim Vanaya Ibha. He wanted to know what is that unique love which is inside the heart of Radharani, which nobody else have. I want to know about that. This is his desire was unfulfilled. As a Krishna he doesn't know this. So he has to come in the form of Gauranga in order to know this. We said that Krishna knows everything. Yes, except some few things. And he has to become Gauranga in order to know this. This is eternal, but it is like this. He wanted to know that. So actually by becoming absorbed in the mood of Radharani, Krishna is revealing to the world the glory of Radharani's love. That has never been written in any scriptures before. What is written in Chaitanya Charitamrita, nowhere in the Veda you can find even allusion to such kinds of things. Sometimes the body of Mahaprabhu dismantled completely. This is not written nowhere in the Vedas. This ecstatic symptom is not referred. Or his body would dismantle.
Only faith of the devotees can, if you have faith.
Yeah. But still you have to remember, in every state, his beauty remains unlimited. Even when he manifests some symptoms like this, we can think all that weird form, you know.
But no, beauty is still unlimited. It's difficult to understand. Needs some realization. But just to say that in that aspect of his life, he revealed really what is inside the heart of Krishna, inside the heart of Radharani. So this is the Prayojan. He is revealing what is prema, pure love, real nature of prema. We are supposed to attain that love. Or not supposed, but he gave us the possibility to attain that love by manifesting it in this. We cannot exhibit this, but we can attain that love.
We can get love, but the full manifestation will be in spiritual, not in material.
Of course, nothing is never finished. He's written here. Kahi avarahi am piman nahi oi manushe dohe. Love of Godhead, devoid of all cheating propensities, is not possible within this material world. It is, if there is such love, there cannot be separation. For if there is separation, how can one live? Pure love for Krishna, just like the gold from the Jambu River, does not exist in human society. If it existed, there could be no separation. Because if separation were there, one could not live. So we have to understand something. Pure love is reaching a very important topic, which is called death. There cannot be pure love without consideration of death. Death. Pure love means when someone is ready to die at every time. This is very intense experience. Yeah. So, this is what we are supposed to reach, such an intensity of love and devotion. Normally devotees are not so much thinking about that. We're thinking pure love means like enjoying in spiritual world, you know. Well, this conception is Swargaloka, heavenly planets. Sometimes we conceive the spiritual world, but our conception of spiritual world is actually Swargaloka. So we will reach Swargaloka. We will become demigod and reach what we are desiring. We are chanting for that. But pure love means complete sacrifice. Mahaprabhu was living in such a state of mind that at every second he was feeling that he is ready to die. No? Lord Chaitanya said, how many times one should be ready to die in 1 second in order to be able to see Krishna? Well, this is pure love, very intense experience. But in that experience, there is the topmost also love and happiness. Unlimited happiness, which is experience. But for this, we should have no more control of nothing. This is sacrifice, you know, like jumping from the cliff. Then when you jump from the cliff, then you can experience what is full surrender. Because when you are on the air, you have nothing else than Krishna to save you. No? Prahlad Maharaj did it, and it works. It's there in Bhagavatam. They throw him from the cliff, and he just landed peacefully.
It's funny you say that, because one time I was with Yamuna's house, and we were singing Bhakti Mataku's song. And every Friday we were going there and chanting, and we have bhajan and Bhakti Mataku. song, and then one time I was so absorbed in the song that I prayed, Krishna, you have to die. Do it now, because now I'm totally in my heart. I was praying that I know. Now we bring good luck to the life.
You didn't die. But Krishna noticed. Now he heard your prayer. This kind of prayer Krishna likes. Oh, she's ready to die for me. This is because you were with Yamuna. And she's a tremendous Vaishnavi. You know? So much love emanating from Yamuna. Very high Vaishnavi.
What about us having plans? Rest of life, immaterial, well, so many plans.
Plans and pure love don't go together.
No?
No, the Vaishnava, I don't know who said, Prabhupada said, living a comfortable life and developing love for Krishna are two things which don't go together.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't.
We should leave it alone.
Yeah. We have to, don't think about that. If you have plan, then love cannot exist. Because love, what is meaning of love? Love means giving without accepting nothing. So if you have plan, you are really accepting many things, no? So love means you should have no plan. Not even for what will happen tonight. Just let Krishna decide what will happen tonight. Sometimes, the other day, a devotee was asking me, how does it take so long for Krishna to reciprocate? And I was thinking about that. Then I realized, actually, the time factor is very important in the development of love. Very, very important. Because if Krishna would reciprocate with us, we could not express love. Because love means giving without accepting nothing. So when Krishna doesn't respond to us, actually he is giving us the space for entering into the expression of love. You understand? You give, you got nothing in return. So now is the point when you can love by going on giving without wanting nothing. Krishna is giving us that space. If he would just, every time we would give, he would give, that would not be love. That would be business. But love means he has to create a space wherein he is not reciprocating with us in order to enable us to go further. Yeah, that's the 10th canto, what he did with the Rasa Lila, with the Gopi. He did that. He hid himself in order to show to the world what is love. That even someone is giving everything, not getting nothing in return, still continuing to sacrifice. Because this is love.
You were proud. This is, it doesn't just enhance our love.
Right, we have to understand something. The pride that the gopis had, this is not the pride that we are speaking in this material world, because they were already in their swarup. That means they have spiritual bodies. So their pride was transcendental pride. Our acharya, they are using this in order to use this as an example for us. When we are sadhaka or practitioners, sometimes we become proud. Oh, I have done this and this. Then Krishna removes himself. But for the gopis, it's a bit different.
In Krishna book, Prabhupada is making this point. Sometimes the acharya, they're putting the things to our level in order to teach us, because we cannot understand what was their feeling of pride. This is very high level of understanding.
He is named in one chapter in Bhagavatam 10, when gopis ask, what kind of lover you are, you did this, this, this. And then he said, I did this to enhance your love for me. This beautiful chapter explaining.
Then you understand what is the heart of Krishna, because in these few verses that he answered to the gopis, Napareham, then you really understand who is Krishna. And it's very beautiful if you understand really who is Krishna. He's not at all that person who everything is conceiving, you know. Most of the people, they conceive Krishna in the wrong way, even unfortunately among devotees. So this is why we are not really attracted by Krishna. We're lacking attraction, or we're lacking taste for chanting, because we have a wrong understanding of Krishna. So we don't feel attraction. We don't feel that unlimited attraction. But if we can understand really what is inside the heart of Krishna, attraction will just spring from our heart in a way that we cannot check.
But our material desire clouding this.
Yeah, this is, of course,
clouding, like we cannot even, we hear this and say
anatta and ignorance, avidya and anatta, they are like clouds and fog that check us to really understand. Even if you read these verses, you cannot understand them. It requires purity of heart in order to understand. This is why Sukadeva Goswami is starting Bhagavatam by saying Dharma Projito Koritavam Tra Paramonir Matsaranam Satam. This book is devoid of all kind of cheating religion. Cheating religions means desire for sense enjoyment, religiosity, liberation, and what? And economic development. Is devoid of all this kind of material desire, and is reserved only for those who are nirmatsalam satam, pure of heart, who has no envy toward any living beings. These persons are qualified to read Bhagavatam. For them, Bhagavatam would be understandable. But still, otherwise we should think that we cannot stop Bhagavatam, because we are not nirmatsara. This is very nirmatsara, you have no envy, that means your heart is pure. Maybe not love or prema has not yet appeared, but your heart is pure. Then by pibato bhagavatam rasam layam, but drinking this nectar from the Bhagavatam, then you will got muhurahura sikham bhuvi bhavuka, you will got that rasa. Sukadeva Goswami will take care to put it into your ears carefully. He is expert.
It's true, because sometimes you read Bhagavatam one time, and after a while you read again. Wow, I didn't understand that.
Yeah.
It's because you advance and you have realization and you can move to deeper in your philosophy. And that's why you say this always will be fresh.
Yeah.
Because of that, because so deep you can read.
And one day you will open the Bhagavatam and you will just read one verse, and everything around you will disappear, and you will be in another world just by reading one verse. When Srinivas Acharya came to Jagannath Puri to learn Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar, after Mahaprabhu's disappearance, Lord Chaitanya appeared to Srinivas and he said, you go to Jagannath Puri, because he wanted to commit suicide when he learned that Mahaprabhu disappeared. So Mahaprabhu appeared during the night in his dream and he said, no, I want you to remain alive.
I have some mission for you. You go to Jagannathpuri and you will learn Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar. Srinivasa Acharya came. When he arrived, Tota Gopinath Mandir, you know, Gadadhar was there, sitting in the corner. Gadadhar was not moving. He could not move. He was like a statue. So much so that Srinivasa Acharya realized that actually all these Vaishnavas, after Mahaprabhu's departure, they had become like Murti. They were as motionless as Murti. So he came in front of Gadadhar and he offered his obeisances. And he explained his dream, why he came. And Gadadhar told him, I know, I am here especially for that. I was waiting for you. So you want to know about the Bhagavatam? He said, yes. And Gadadhar told him, take Bhagavatam and start to read. So he took the Bhagavatam, means the personal Bhagavatam of Gadadhar. Then this is another deep subject. Who is Gadadhar? And he started to open it. And when he opened the pages, his consciousness became completely shattered, because he could not read anything. All the pages were washed away by the tears of Gadadhar. He could not read the verses of the Bhagavatam. That's the experience of Bhagavatam. And when he saw that, just by seeing these pages washed away by the tears of Gadadhar, he reached such a high level of love for Krishna that all the symptoms of ecstasy manifested in his body, so much so that Gadadhar became fearful. He said, wow, what is happening to him? And he started to...
He didn't even start.
To take him. No, he said, it's okay, be careful. Maybe you close it and come back tomorrow.
You don't have to touch.
So this is Bhagavatam, of course, and very high level. This is the topmost level.
You can see how contaminated you are. Not much happening. We hear
it. So this is the grace. Yeah, we are fallen, so much fallen. This morning I woke up Jagannath. I got that mercy from Kritamala. Special service for Jagannath during this Nava Kadivaras, you know, 15 days Jagannath is absent. And when I was in front of Jagannath, I was thinking, my God, I am so dull. I am in front of the highest form of ecstasy of the Supreme Absolute Truth, and I cannot really understand what's happening. Do you understand? Jagannath, the form of Jagannath is not a cheap thing. And I'm there, and I'm doing okay, Hitat Palyam, Nidam Argyam, trying to focus my mind. This is Jagannath. My dear Lord, I am pleased to awaken from your sleep. But I was feeling really out of context, you know.
I think I am sleeping.
I was feeling really out of context. Then after, by the mercy of Jagannath, some things came in my heart and helped me to understand it a little bit more. But I realized how dull I am. Yeah, we are so much fallen. But we have to understand we are fallen, but at the same time our goal should be very high. Like Narottam Das Thakur said in his last song of Prarthana, you know Prarthana is a very important book. Kurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj told us that by reading this book every day you can attain pure love for Krishna. So in the last song he is saying, I am just like a dwarf, trying to catch the moon. This is my situation. But what can I do? I cannot think that something else that to try to catch that moon. So yes, we are very fallen, but at the same time, you see, we have to look forward to the prayojan, the goal of life.
Okay, but if you think that you are fallen, if you really, really believe this, you are convinced, how can you have the highest goal in your mind? And how? Because fallen means you are fallen. What can you think of any goal highest if you are fallen?
Yeah, that's contradictory. That's one of the contradictions of spiritual life. Spiritual life is full of contradiction. But the symptom of someone who realizes that he is extremely fallen is that this person has also topmost goal within his heart. It cannot be separated also. Because without realizing what is the topmost goal, you cannot realize how much fallen you are. These two realizations, they go together. If you think that the topmost goal is to be a demigod, you will feel less fallen than if you realize what is really the pure love. You understand? So the more you actually, the more the more you realize something high, the more you become humble. So the level of realization of someone can be ascertained according to the humility of that person. Someone who is very humble means because he has realized some very high things. Because humility you cannot imitate. So if there is really deep, true humility in someone, you can be sure that person is in contact, or has been at least in contact with something very high. Because when you have experience of something very pure, very elevated, that destroys your pride in just 1 second. If you realize what is the love that the associate of Krishna, they have for Krishna, then you cannot be proud anymore for your entire life. You will realize.
I read a Srila Prabhupada who never wanted to take any disciple.
Yeah.
Because he said that he wasn't qualified to have a disciple.
The symptom of one who has a love for Krishna is that he is one indeed person convinced that he has not one drop of love for Krishna. And nobody can have this conviction without having that love. This is the contradictory, completely inconceivable aspect of pure love. That those who are on very higher level, they think they are on the lower level. And those who are on very low level, sometimes they think they are great. Normally, a Kanishtha Adhikari thinks he is a good devotee. But when you progress in spiritual life, those people have a misconception, sometimes they think, progressing in spiritual life means that I will become a big devotee. Not at all. Progressing in spiritual life means you will realize more and more that you are fallen. This is not the way up, this is the way down. Everybody is trying to go up. But going up doesn't bring nowhere. We have to go down. Maharaj Prabhuparudra, when he took the broom to sweep in front of Lord Jagannath, the heart of Mahaprabhu melted, completely melted, and he obtained the mercy of Mahaprabhu. So much so that few hours after, Mahaprabhu took him into his heart and told him, "Buridhar, you are the most merciful person." So this is Trinadapi Sunichena. You cannot skip that verse. It's impossible to skip it, because Mahaprabhu's entourage, they are living by that verse. And you cannot have access to them without how to say, living by this verse also. And when you live by this verse, you don't have even to make any effort. They will come to you and they will take you. Like Mahaprabhu would, you know, picking is take from the ground the person who would fall at his feet and then embrace them. But the associates of Krishna, they are like that. If you become very humble, they will come and they will take you.
That's why Lord Chaitanya said, servant, 100 times.
You have to be very humble.
100 times to you. So can you imagine how he presented what is our constitution?
If you see in the life of Yamuna, how much Prabhupada was heavy with her so many times. Yeah. Prabhupada was very heavy with Yamuna. Wow! Because the spiritual master is giving to the disciple, like Krishna, the space to express his humility and love.
He also said once in London, she was offering fruits to deities, and Pujari came and said, Yamuna is offering fruits to deities, and she's crying, tears coming. He said, yes, I know, she's already from London. You can hear her
You know Hari Priya? She told me the same things last week.
Okay.
I met her in New York, she told me the same things that you're telling me.
She's my neighbor.
Okay. So you are a very fortunate soul. You have lived with such pure Vaishnava. Krishna appears in his original form as Avatari, or the source of all incarnation, only once every day of Brahma. That's 8,640,000 millions of years. Only once in the day of Brahma, Krishna appears in his form, original form, as what we call Shamsundara. Of Rajendra Nanda, the son of the king of Raj.
And that was 5,000 years ago.
That was 5,000 years ago. And only then he will reappear in the following Kali Yuga in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we know him. That means he is Radha and Krishna combined. Radha and Krishna eternally are one soul, but they are manifesting themselves in two bodies. But now these two personalities again have merged together and appeared as Lord Chaitanya. This is only after the Krishna's appearance, also once in the day of Brahma. So what happens in the other Dwapara Yuga and the other Kali Yuga, because a day of Brahma means 1,000 cycles. of four yugas. So what happened during the 999 other Dwapara Yuga and Kali Yuga, actually there is also Krishna avatar in Dwapara Yuga, but his emanation from Chirudakasha Yudhishthira. That is why the Sri Sampradaya is saying that actually Krishna is an avatar of Vishnu. That is also true. Yes, 999 times. Yeah, he is, but one he is not. Just we are not speaking about the same person, but they are right also, we are right also. So he is coming from emanation of, because all avatars in this world they are coming from Chirudakasha Vishnu. And Mahaprabhu also is coming in the form of Gauranga, but this is Gauranga Narayan. So this is Lord Narayan in form of Gauranga. And he will distribute Nam Sankirtan also, because Nam Sankirtan is the process for all Kali Yuga, but he will not distribute Vraja Prem. Yeah.
He will not do Vraja Prem.
No, he will not distribute Vraja Prem, and he will not reveal the mood of Radharani. Yes. That he will not do.
So we are fortunate.
Very special.
We are so fortunate. How is it possible that we are just what you said, common people, fallen, sinful?
So what made that it's absolute? This can be what it is really by Krishna, not the other one. Because, you know, every Kali Yuga could say that.
Shastra says, right?
And you know, really, every Kali Yuga could say, this is Lord Chaitanya as well, and this is what I Krishna too.
But in the other Kali Yuga, you will not have knowledge about this.
Yeah.
Because Chaitanya Charitamrita will not be there.
I see. Okay.
All these topics, mm-hmm. Gambira and Mahaprabhu speaking, all this is not there.
Okay.
So you have ordinary knowledge, but you will not. We know this because it's written by our Acharya. But these Acharya, they don't come in the other Kali Yuga. They come only because they are the associate of Raj. They come only also once in the year.
Right. Yes.
Prabhupada is a very special personality. Mm-hmm. It's very rare to meet such a person. He is not a Vishnu Duta. Mm-hmm. Much more than that.
He is Krishna Duta.
If we can say so. Duta.
Radharani Duta.
Then we say duty.
Duty.
Messenger. Spiritual world, there is one role. This is one group also, they are the messengers. Some gopi, they are messengers. Some gopa, they are also messengers. Some birds also are messengers. Duti, they are called duti.
I know in Boston one girl, she was from China, Tamakrishna
Maharaj,
disciple. She had
made Radha. Like this. Messenger. There are many messengers in Raj in order to harmonize the mood of Radha and Krishna. Because the nature of love is that, the nature of pure love is that when it is expressed, it diminishes. When it is kept secret, it increases. So that's why there is always this interaction between Radha and Krishna in order to increase actually. All these pastimes are there in order to increase love. But we have to understand always what means love. Love means giving everything without expecting nothing. This is the definition of sacrifice.
Prabhupada says the love of the mother is the process of love.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Closes, but at the same time is very far. Not everything, nearly. As far as I know, all these mothers of this world, they are expecting so much or so from the child. But this is the closest, of course.
So we have one way to do.
Yes. Such a long way to go.
Not necessary.
That's why we have to be deep, you know.
And we have a few years.
Few years.
We can chant one mantra and we become pure. So it's
yeah.
So far away if you want to see it.
Like Bibi Govinda Maharaj said, so close yet so far.
And so far.
It had the same thing. It depends only to us. Because I read once a very beautiful thing from Satchinandan Swami. He said, if you think that the gap between you and this topmost attainment is too huge for you to cross over it, then you have not understood one point. Let me please explain it to you. That the mercy of Mahaprabhu can cover this distance in 1 second. So this is why we are always coming back to Mahaprabhu. We have to worship Mahaprabhu. Otherwise, it's sure you have no chance. But Mahaprabhu is Adbhuta Karunya, Adbhuta Vadanya, Adbhuta Audarya. Unlimitedly merciful. Unlimitedly magnanimous, unlimitedly munificent. Unlimited. His mercy is unlimited. So, okay, my fallen state is unlimited, but the mercy of Krishna is more unlimited than my fallen state. This is our hope.
Hope against
hope. So it's possible. It's possible, but we need one ingredient, which is called sincerity.
What is?
Sincerity.
Sincerity?
Yeah.
Can you define sincerity?
Sincerity means sincerity can be defined as doing our best. Always. Like this, yeah. Doing always our best.
If we are not doing our best, we are not sincere. Could we say that how much I'm willing to do for Krishna is sincerity? How much I'm willing to do?
No, sincerity means doing our best. If we know we can do 100, but we do 90%, then there is 10% of duplicity. Sincerity means when there is no duplicity. Sincerity means sacrifice. Whatever you have, you just give. This is sincerity. Don't fear that you will lose something. You will not lose. You will lose your ego. Your ego will be destroyed. That you will lose. That we don't want to lose. But our ego will be burnt into ashes. Yes, that you will lose. But you will obtain something which is more valuable. Your ego will be replaced by, you will get new life, you will get divine body, you will get pure love for Krishna. But without sacrificing your ego, you cannot, because this is not compatible. So we have to learn to give without expecting nothing. And go on giving. This is love. Love is a beautiful feeling, actually. The more you give without... When you enter into that consciousness of giving without expecting nothing, a very new kind of experience enter into your heart. It's very pleasing. Then you realize, yes, that's it. Because in bhakti, when you are in the proper way, when you are properly doing the things, you can feel in your heart. Your heart will give you confirmation. Yes, that you feel. Like you said, when you were chanting, you know, now I can die. Because your heart was knowing, now I can die. Okay? So So please worship Lord Chaitanya, and we worship Lord Chaitanya by chanting the holy name of Radha and Krishna. This is what he gave us. Because the love he has come to give us, he gave us into the form of the Maha Mantra. Everything is there inside. Maha Mantra is not different from Gauranga, because Radha and Krishna, they intertwine, the name of Radha and Krishna becomes intertwined. This is Mahaprabhu also, very beautifully intertwined. So the holy name of Radha and Krishna are unlimitedly merciful, and the holy name of Gauranga even more. And so we have to develop attachment for Mahaprabhu and his associates, the Vaishnavas, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. They are amazing personalities, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Like Bhaktivinod. You know, Bhaktivinod is an amazing person. The more you develop attachment for this person, Shri Guru Sharane Rati, Eise Uttama Gati. This is the topmost path, the most secure path in spiritual life. If you want to attain topmost destination, then you develop just attachment for the feet of Prabhupada and our Acharya. Just by focusing on that attachment, Shri Guru Sharanarati Eise Uttama Gati. Chakshudandilo ye, then you will get vision, spiritual vision. Janmai